This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast. Brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574. 561-383-6574. 6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha, a church of worship, the word and healing. What an exciting time where we can come for you this afternoon just to share this wonderful gospel to you, this good news to you. But before we get into this powerful series, I believe that I just wanted to give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry. First of all, I want you to grab a pen and write down this site. It's Maranatha, MaranathaInter.org. Also, you can sow into this ministry. For weeks, we've just been on probably 2 months now. You've been hearing this ministry over and over and over, and it's been a blessing to you. Go on this website and go to the sowing tab. Click on sow and sow into this ministry. It might be $10. It might be $20. It might be $50. It might be $100. It might be $100,000 or even $1 million. Someone has the means to say, I want to be a blessing to a ministry that is a ministry of character, a ministry of integrity, a ministry that has a heart to help this community. So go. Also, I want you to come and visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. This is an extraordinary ministry where you can come and get some great teaching and just a time where you can enter into a time of worship. Take the time to just worship God. I believe that this will be a place for you to grow and for you to grow as an individual. Now, we have been teaching on the subject of teach me how to pray. I mean, why is that important? I believe that praying to God is our communication to God, and also it's a place where we can just spend some significant time to know about God. So I believe that as we teach you how to pray, that you'll be able to use the information that's being taught and incorporated into how you pray. So I believe that as we teach you how to pray, then you can use this information and pray a more robust prayer to God and see results. Now, under the teaching, teach me how to pray, today I want to talk about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Someone might be listening right now, a young person. You've been praying, you have not seen any results, or you have not been praying, and it seems as though your life has just turned for the worse. Begin to pray and have God intervene into your situation. That businessman, that businesswoman, I want you to pray. Pray for your business. Pray over the people that you come in contact with. That single mom, that single dad, pray. That person that may have just gone through a divorce, pray. Or that minister that is listening also, pray. Pray for the church. Pray for what God has for you. So I believe that as we pray, it's important that we understand that our prayer should be a prayer of faith. And that's what I want to talk to you this afternoon about, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. Now, there was a story, not a story, but actually something that I experienced firsthand. You know, I'm from Jamaica, but I grew up in New Jersey. I have quite a few brothers and sisters. But I believe that as I was growing up in New Jersey, one of the events that kind of stuck out to me was my sister, my younger sister, she would always come around the dinner table and she would say, "Mommy, I am praying for a little sister." At that time, I didn't have a little sister. She was it. She was praying. Time we would say, "Oh, it's just my little sister just having fun." And she kept on praying. She kept on praying. And matter of fact, she went as far as making preparations and began to start going into her room and making preparations and begin to start praying and making preparations. Say, "Hey, this is where my little sister is going to be." After about a year went by, my mother, who was already up there in age, she said she went into the room and she got a vision. And the Lord actually spoke to her and said, "I had to do this because of your daughter's faith. Right now, I have a sister that's actually living in Atlanta, and her name is Paula Faith." Why? Because that manifestation of what my other sister was praying is now a reality. So your prayer has to be based in faith. Now turn with me. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. James chapter 5, verses 13. And we're gonna use this as our base scripture to kind of spring from. James chapter 5, verses 13 and 18. Now let's read 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15. "And the prayer of faith," underline that, "and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Let's read that again. "And the prayer of faith will save." That word "save" means Compton word "sudso." The prayer of faith will deliver. It means also to protect or to heal or to make whole the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if you commit any sins, it will be forgiven. The Young's transliteration of the same verse, it says, "The prayer of faith shall save the distressed one." Now, let's look at the similar scripture that brings the idea of the importance of praying in faith. In Mark chapter 11, verses 24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you," unto who? You who are listening right now, "whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe." In other words, have faith when you pray, "that ye receive them." That word "receive" comes from the word "lambano," which means to take. "Believe that you receive them, and you shall, and it shall come to pass for you." So in both verses, we see there's a common denominator here, that both has to have the prayer of faith. And as we go through this study, you'll see the importance of that. Now, it's important that we understand that we should first define faith. If we're going to be praying in faith, we have to define faith. Faith comes from a Greek word, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It means persuasion. It means moral conviction of the truthfulness of God. It also means assurance. The root word of that word pistis is pitho, which means to convince. Have you ever tried to convince your friend? You say, "Hey, I want to convince you to come to this restaurant with me, convince you of this idea that I have." It means to convince, or it means to have confidence. So faith means I have confidence. I'm fully persuaded that the truthfulness, that God is telling the truth, and he will back up what he is saying. In other words, God says, "I'm not the man that I should lie, not the son of man I should repent. Have I not said it? And shall I not make it good?" So faith is persuasion, confidence, to be convinced. Now, if we want to rightly divide or rightly define this word faith, we have to go to Hebrews 11, verses 1. And in the King James, it says, "For faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." I'm going to read it in a different version to kind of give you more of an understanding of what is being said. Faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed of things we hope for. What do you mean hope for? Things we are expecting. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Like, for instance, your great-granddad left you a piece of land right by the ocean, by the water in the Bahamas. Someone comes and gives you a piece of paper, a title deed. And on the title deed, it says, hey, this lot was deeded to you. You look at it. You begin to start rejoicing. You say, oh my God, I got a piece of lot. I got a piece of lot. But you never actually saw the lot. But this piece of paper offered the proof that it belongs to you. So faith is like that title deed, someone coming and giving you proof. The word of God is the proof. So it's the assurance of things. It's the assurance of things we hope for and being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. You see how that works? So when our prayers are going forth, our prayers have to be with assurance. Our prayers have to be definite and say, for sure, what I am praying is going to come to pass. You know, some other things we talked about faith. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What I mean by that? Faith is not based on your senses, what you could touch, what you can feel, what you can hear, or what you could taste. Faith always speaks of now, where hope speaks of later, speaks of future. Faith is also the currency of heaven and how we transact business, calling those things which be not as though they were. It's a currency of heaven. Faith is the heavenly substance with God created the universe. You remember in Genesis when it says, and God said, what was he doing? He was using his faith. He was using his faith to call those things which be not, to call into existence things which be not, and to bring them into a reality. Faith makes sure of what we hope for and gives proof of what we cannot see. Now, we also need to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, because I was reading this. I had to read this couple times because I said, wait a minute, maybe they made a typo. But it reads as this. It says, and without faith, without pistis, it is impossible to please God. In other words, it's impossible to fully gratify God. For he who comes to God must believe. You see that? When you come to God with your prayer, you must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So our prayers, could it be that our prayers that do not please God are the prayers that are prayed in doubt and not believing? So we have to pray in faith. We have to come with a posture of, I believe you, Lord, and I believe that what I'm saying will come to pass. Now let's look at another verse in James. And James, the author now, is going to give us a different angle of this faith and praying in faith and how important it is. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. You got it? I know you do. I can hear those pages turning. I can hear those pages turning. Now let's read. Start with verse 5. James chapter 1, verses 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, or you may be lacking something else besides wisdom, let's just kind of put it into context here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him pray. Who gives to all, underline that, gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in what? In faith. Let him ask in faith. Let him ask in pistis, with no doubting. That word doubting comes from the word diakrino, which means to separate thoroughly. It means to withdraw from. It means to oppose. It means to discriminate. It means to waver or to stagger. Wow. So he says, when we come to God, let him ask in faith, without staggering, without wavering, without having another opinion. God, I know you said this, but this is my idea. Or to withdraw. Withdraw from what? To withdraw from what God says. So let's read verse 6 again. Let him ask in faith, pistis, with no doubting, diakrino, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that mother-in-law, let not that daughter, that son, that son-in-law, whoever it is that's listening, don't even think about the fact that you are going to hear any, you're going to hear, receive anything from the Lord if you are praying in doubt. Wow, that's a big statement. It goes on to say, for he is a double-minded man, and he's unstable in all his ways. In other words, he is a two-spirited man. On Monday, he's believing. On Tuesday, he's like, I don't know if God, I think he's going to bring it to pass. On Wednesday, you say, well, I believe. And then it's like a ship being tossed to and fro. Don't be like that. Don't let your prayers be in doubt. Let's give an example of that. Example of Abraham. You remember God came to Abraham and says, hey, Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless this world. Guess what, Abraham? I'm going to give you a son. And then through the son, seeds are going to come through your son. Generation is going to come through your son. The blessing is going to come through your son. And I can see Abraham just looking at God and says, don't you realize that I'm 100 years old? When was the last time you looked at my wife? She's also up there in age. As a matter of fact, her womb is dead. She can't produce anymore. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verses 19, we see this conversation taking place. And it says, and not being weak in faith. Weak in faith. That gives me the idea that means that if a faith can be weak, a faith also could be strong. And we see that throughout the gospel when he says, you with a strong faith, that centurion that came to Jesus, oh, you had strong. I've never seen such strong faith. So he being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He did not look at his 100-year-old body. He did not look at the wife, the deadness of her womb, already dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not waver. You remember we talked about that? What Greek word was that? Yes, you're right. Diakrino. D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O. They use the same word for what Abraham is saying in this particular text. He says he did not waver, he did not diakrino, he did not doubt, he did not oppose at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, what is unbelief? Unbelief is a mindset of I refuse to believe. There's one thing to doubt, but then you have a mindset that whatever it is, God, I just don't believe. A mindset of refusing to believe. So let's read verse 20 again. It says, he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So your faith should not be filled with, I think, young person, or I wonder if this is going to come to pass, or maybe it's going to come to pass, or I'm not sure. If you listen to your prayers, we can hear some of those doubting statements. Or this is a good one. If it is your will, God. We're prone to say, I heard that a lot. Not realizing that God prayed that prayer when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was actually praying before God and was discerning what God's will was for his life. But we were not to use that same phrase in everything. God, if it is your will. Now in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John verses 5, verses 14 and 15. And I'm going to give you some chance to kind of turn to it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You got it? Good. Now it reads, now this is the what? The confidence. Remember we talked about that when we were defining faith? Confidence. Faith is the confidence that we... Now this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me read that again. 1 John 5 and 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. What is his will? His word is his will. The word of God is God's will. Like for instance, if I want to find out what is his will towards healing. You know, nowadays I've heard, even sometimes we heard pastors say healing has been gone away. Well, I don't know about that. That means you have to go to Hebrews and now extract the verse that says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he healed in the yesterday, he says, I am healing today. I'm healing today. If healing wasn't for today, well, he said he sent his word and he healed. He would not put it in his word. If healing wasn't for today, he wouldn't put it in his redemptive plan. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses, I believe it was 5. All right. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's his will. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may what? Prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers, trust me. Trust me on this one. Trust me on this one. Sickness is not from God. Say that again. I said sickness is not from God. It's not from God. What did Jesus go about doing? He says how God anointed him with the what? The Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. Don't stop there. And healing all manner of sickness. And that's what Jesus went about doing. Check out his ministry. He healed the blind man. He healed the leper. He bring Lazarus back from the dead. It was all about, it was embedded in all of his ministry. So if you are sick, if you are laying on your bed right now, it is God's will for you to be healed. But pastor, how do I get out of this condition? Begin to start building your faith, praying in faith, because it's the prayer of faith that's what will heal the sick. Pastor, keep on talking. I will. Because it's important. That's why it's important what church you go to. Because if you're not preaching from the word, yes, it's good, you know, to get a book and it's an inspirational book. But if you spend most of your time in an inspirational book and neglect the word, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We have to get back to the word. We have to get back to churches that preach the word. Preach the unadulterated word of God. You tell I'm kind of passionate about it. Yes, I am passionate about it. I'm passionate about God and I love God. When we just read, we see that in 1 John 5 and 14 and 15, it says, now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, he hears us. Man, thank God. If I just know that he hears me, I just can rejoice right there and know that my answers are prayer. But 15 also says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, knowing that we ask in accordance to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Wow. So your prayer should not be filled with, I think, I wonder if, maybe, I am not sure. But your prayers should be filled with faith. Our prayers should be faith-based. Now, pastor, he says, you're talking about this faith. How do I get faith? Do I go to my pastor and I said, pastor, just lay your hands on me and tell him and pronounce faith upon me? No, even though our pastors can pronounce blessings upon us. No, the Bible makes it very clear that Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says faith, catch this, pistis, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we get faith by positioning ourselves to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Even in the salvation prayer, the scripture says that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, it says, if you what? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was what? Raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So even in that, our prayer is a prayer of faith. And this will be a perfect time for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know that Jesus loves you so much? And all you have to do is say, God, forgive me, regardless of what you have done, and say, Lord, come into my heart. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross for me, and I believe that I'm saved. Wow. Now, I believe that my time has elapsed, but I think you got the point that our prayers should be based in the word of God. Our prayers should be based in faith. When we're praying, we're not praying what we think should happen, but we're praying the word of God, and we're praying a prayer of faith. Now, I want to encourage you to come this Sunday and be a part of this ministry at 10 a.m. I also want you to call us at 561-383-6574. And also, like what I said at the beginning, go on our website, Maranatha, MaranathaInter.org, and go on our site. See our time. See, read upon our ministry. And also, I want you to sow in this ministry. There's a section where you can actually go and you can sow. Sow into this ministry. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, if this ministry has caused you to change your perspective and has helped you and has been a blessing to you, ministry, sow that $10, sow that $50, sow that $100, sow that $1,000 into this ministry and watch your life begin to start changing. I believe that even someone right now may have a church building and it says, I want to sow this into Maranatha. Give me a call, 561-383-6574, and sow into this ministry. I guarantee if you sow into good soil, a soil of integrity, of character, you will see that seed come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. May God richly bless you. And I hope that this time together, teaching you how to pray, praying in faith, has been a blessing to you. Shalom. God bless you.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into the radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Team Martech, local professionals serving our community. Listen to a financial advisor, local attorney, independent insurance agent, mortgage broker, realtor, and certified public accountant. They discuss issues and answer questions of interest to you. That's Team Martech, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on WCNO. Going up to the spirit in the sky. WCNO.